ABC Radio Australia.
Well, Fiji, it's known as a popular destination for weddings, for international visitors and locals alike. But the reality is, the country itself has seen a rising decline in marriages in Fiji. According to the Fiji Bureau of Statistics, over 6,000 unions were registered in 2024, down from 9,500 in 2016. So what is behind the decline? We're joined by this morning to get a better understanding of this is Professor and Chair of Social Work and Policy Studies at the University of Sydney, Dr. Georgi Ravulo. With that, I say welcome, Doctor.
Nisan Bulavanaka and g'day. Hi, how are you?
I am well. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Very interesting topic that we're going to be talking about. Look, we understand, right, that the social practice of marriage itself in the Pacific is, you know, often viewed as a cornerstone to our culture. But look, we're looking at Fiji. They're facing quite a stark decline in marriages. Should we be worried?
Yes and no. Like, no, in the sense of, I think what this represents is a broader understanding that marriage is not necessarily the ultimate goal in a relationship. And I think this is what we're seeing more and more in Fiji and across the Pacific. One of the reasons being is there's so much more information made available these days via different methods like the internet, obviously, through Google, but also social media. And as Pacific people, as Fijians, we have better access to these particular areas of information and knowledge. And I think people are starting to explore and see the world differently.
Well, yeah, and from those figures that I had mentioned, look, that's about, 3,000 less marriages in the last 8 years. Do you know what sort of factors would have played into that?
Well, the relationship stuff is also a big commitment for people coming through, especially the younger generation. And I think the younger generation, because we are living in a time where we want the here and now, I think people are not necessarily planning for the bigger picture future. And I think that's what was happening previously with marriage. Marriage was always seen as the ultimate goal. It was where you were going to settle down and have children and raise them in a beautiful home and all those sort of things. And that still happens today, very much so, but marriage is not necessarily seen as a part of that per se. I think there is the scope for people to still get married and still express their faith and their religion through those particular ceremonies and through those particular moments in time. But I believe that what we're seeing is more younger people seeing that marriage is not necessarily the ultimate goal, that you can have all those other things, the children and the home, without actually having to get married.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little bit more. But before that, do you think any of the following factors, you know, I know we went through COVID, there's often, you know, stories of domestic violence, or even our workers, you know, those who are going into the PALM scheme, do you think those have played into the decline in marriages?
I think that can contribute. I think that there is those factors that are playing out and across the area and the region itself. There are concerns around people in intimate partner violence, but there's also stuff with people coming for seasonal workers opportunities. But from what I've seen in the conversations that I've had with Fijians is a lot of the time it's about then also having the opportunity to do what you would like to do. So I don't think it's about the fear of commitment. It's just they want to live life. They want to do it in a way that is what they want, as opposed to what potentially the family and the culture traditionally wants. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more. We're seeing more of a modern take on relationships as opposed to the other factors.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about social norms, right? They often change, whether generationally, and you mentioned young people. So what is it that's sort of changing their minds about, you know, traditional versus modern?
I think a lot of it is to do also with the cost of living and finances. I think our younger generations have seen the way in which their own parents have had to even struggle financially to make ends meet. So I think for them, it's not necessarily about trying to lock themselves into those particular areas of life so quickly. I think they want to explore the world. I think they want to get out there and do things, and they don't necessarily want to settle down so quickly. In conversations I've even had with some of my Fijian colleagues at work, they've said things like, yes, I've got younger children that are, you know, adults, young adults, and they don't want to necessarily go into relationships long term. They want to go out and have fun in all different ways, if you know what I mean, and they don't necessarily want to commit to anything at this stage.
Well, when you talk about that, you know, the rising cost of living, I must say, you know, when we look at the economic challenges, right, like how much of an impact then would this have on the economy there in Fiji?
I know that people, as you mentioned in the opening package, I know that a lot of people do come to Fiji to celebrate their wedding. And I think that's an important part of tourism in Fiji. And I think that will continue to happen. A lot of people will still come to Fiji to celebrate and be with their family and friends to do that. I think, though, going back to the local context, I think that a lot of the time people are going to do their own thing. They're not necessarily having the big opulent weddings that a lot of people from outside Fiji do. They're not necessarily coming in and bringing in all the tourism that goes with that. So I don't think there's necessarily any concerns with that per se. I think it's more just around them living their best lives, moving forward, knowing that they can still achieve and have those other things later on. But I think not necessarily now is a big part of their thinking. And again, this is more the younger people, the younger generations. In the counselling that I do with couples, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that they are wanting to achieve. A lot of the couples, the Pacific couples that I deal with, they're not necessarily married, they're in de facto long-term loving relationships, but marriage hasn't necessarily been part of their journey and something that they're not necessarily considering, because they're still happy with each other, they're still happy with their family that they're actually rearing through young children. And I think that's what they're focused on, is just being able to survive and thrive through that.
Well, and we've spoken a lot about the younger generation, but, you know, again, with the counselling and the people that you see, how have you seen the older generation? You know, people are either maybe not wanting to get married younger, but are waiting until they're a little bit older. Is that the case at all?
Yeah, I've seen some of that as well, but I think that's the other thing. I think people will also develop a sense of connection to themselves and others. As they get older, they become a lot more comfortable and they become a lot more aware of who they are and what they want in life. And I think, yes, if they want to get married, they do that because they understand that is something that they would like to do, as opposed to potentially pressure from peers and family. And so, yeah, I think with the older generation, and you are seeing still that arrangement occur. But again, it's based on people wanting to do it because they are more aware of what they want individually and collectively.
And I think even if we talk about, you know, the decline in marriages, but you also deal with people who are maybe constantly either just breaking up from a marriage, right? Like, how was that? Yeah, how was that when you were dealing with them?
Yeah, that can be really tricky, especially because we know that the family is so nuclear for Pacific families. And I think that can always be a hard thing to navigate for Pacific couples, especially as they have they may have children involved, and then the need to make sure that they have the priority when it comes to ensuring that there is the ongoing care for them. But I think that's something that they are still trying to navigate, this idea of how do we now relate to each other based on no longer being together, but still having these children as part of that shared journey. I think that's an ongoing thing that we all need to talk about. I think that's the key thing really here, is that we need to make sure that we are having these conversations about relationships. I know generally we don't talk about relationships, especially intimacy in relationships. And I'm not suggesting that we do that publicly, but we still need to have those conversations.
I think this is the reason why we have these conversations on the show, is to be able to address this issue. And talking about addressing this issue then, well, how do we approach it to be able to support people's choices, you know, if they want to marry or not?
Well, to encourage those particular choices to be had in the first place, I think it's really, really important that we provide scope for us to talanoa, to have that individually, even collectively, to create those sort of conversations in a way that people feel like they're able to express their authentic selves. And we know that when you're able to share and hold space and even, you know, nurture and ensure that the VARP, the sacred spaces between us, is nurtured in a way that is helpful, then people feel comfortable to have those conversations with each other. So I think that's what's really, really important. We continue to do that. We continue to also share, you know, some of those things where appropriate on socials. But I'm talking more around health, ensuring that we are creating health literacies, making sure that people are aware of what it means to be in happy, healthy relationships, so that we are counteracting gender-based violence, domestic and family violence, intimate partner violence. So a lot of those things also need to occur as part of our shared conversation.
I have to ask then, happy, healthy relationships, what really does that look like?
For me, when I'm talking with the couples that I work with in counselling, it really is about ensuring that we're encouraging people to communicate their expectations with each other. I'm always very surprised when I'm sitting in space with individuals and they might go, oh, yes, this is what I want from my partner. And I'm like, well, have you spoken to them about it? And they're like, no. And it's like, okay, let's encourage that particular conversation to be had. And so a lot of my sessions then will encourage both partners to actually have that shared conversation. I'll facilitate that shared conversation safely so they feel comfortable. And once they start doing that, they then can start to feel comfortable in sharing other things as part of their shared journey together. So I think that's the key thing. Share expectations, communicate expectations. It can be verbally, it can even be written, but it's just about being able to create that space. Again, even the VAR in a intimate relationship that encourages those conversations around expectations.
Beautiful. Doctor, it is always great to catch up with you and just to hear some great advice for those who may be considering marriage, especially there in Fiji. But look, again, I want to say vinaka vakalevu. Thank you so much for your time.
Naka.